Our reading is taken from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 28. It's on the page 36 of the Bibles in the pews. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him all daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. So the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and men and have overcome." This is the word of God.
Good morning. And it is really, really wonderful to be with you today. Thank you so much, John, for the invitation to be with you. And thank you, Josina. You've been such a blessing to Harvest Church. So this church has really blessed our church. So I just want to say thank you to you. I met Josina, I don't even know when, but a little while back. I'm not a person that remembers times and dates. And she started to share with me about the work that she was doing with Crossroads. And that really, really stirred my heart. In fact, I've read this little pamphlet that she's written, which includes many testimonies from ladies who have suffered abortion and then gone through the counselling here. I just started to break and weep, and I thought, God, what is this? And God just started to speak to me. So a group of us did the journey together, and Josina took us through it so that we could really understand what the process is about, so that we could do something that in the future we're really hoping that we can set up our own unit at Harvest Church in Wembley with Josina's help and mentoring and guidance. So it was such a blessing and such a tremendous help to us. And I encourage you, you know, if you have gone through anything in your past, the loss of a baby, whether it's through abortion, miscarriage, any other way, and you still carry any sadness in your heart around, I really do encourage you to consider going through the journey yourself and allowing yourself to receive real freedom and healing from the effect that can have. But just as we turn to the Bible, if I can just shut your eyes for one moment as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I bow my knees before the Father in heaven, from whom all families on the earth derive their name. Father, we honor you today. I pray that your word would touch every single man and woman in this place. That, Lord, you would speak to us, that we would hear from you, and that we would never be the same again as a result. We give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, in the year 2000, my husband and I, we've been pastoring for 5 years at the time, married 5 years, pastoring 5 years together, and our daughter very, very suddenly died. And she was nearly two at the time, and as you can imagine, it was, you know, it felt like we'd been dropped from a plane in the sky over an erupting volcano. And what really saved us was that we landed on the prayers and the love and the support of our friends, of our congregation members who were praying for us, and of our family. And over the year after our daughter died, at the time she was our only child, so we didn't just lose her, we kind of lost that, you know, who we were. Because when you're a parent, it's part of your identity. And so we just felt that really our lives had been broken. But over that year, God did the most
we had the consultant who oversaw, who was there when she died, come to our home, because there had been some issues of medical negligence, and he came to our home to talk with her for hours. And at the end of it, he said to us, and I think he thought that his words would be reassuring, he said, "You will never get over this." And I think he was trying to say, "I understand that your most precious child is in possession, but the most precious gift in your life is gone." But you see, God is different to people. And over the next year, God literally, time and time again, reached down from heaven. There was one time when I foolishly decided to tidy her toys away. They'd been left out. It was about a month after she died. And I decided I need to clear up the toys and put them in bags and put them in the loft. And I was doing that, and I just broke. And the pain was just so much. It was too much. And I knew two people who had lost a child, and so I tried to call them. No one was answering. I didn't want to speak to somebody who couldn't relate to what I was going through. And I just cried out. And I said, "God, help me." And I literally felt a hand reach down from heaven and pull pain out of the inside of me. And in a few moments, I went from traumatic tears to just sitting in the presence of the Lord Jesus with a calmness. And over the next year, not the others so dramatic as that, but God just healed me as I poured out my heart before him, as I told him about the pain. 5 years after that, and two children later, I have two wonderful children, I was ministering at a conference for women. And there was a woman who came to me, and she just looked broken and ashamed. And I said, "How can I pray for you?" And she said to me, she said, I can't cope with the guilt of, I've had an abortion, and I just feel so bound and so broken, and I can't move forward." And the Lord touched my heart, and I put my arms around her shoulder, and I said, "My sister, 5 years ago, my two-year-old daughter died." And I said, "You and I are the same. We're both mothers who lost a child. And you have just as much right to grieve for that child as I had to grieve for mine." And I prayed for that woman, and she wept and sobbed, and she received forgiveness freely from God. And God did a work of healing in that lady's heart. And you see, that's the God that we serve. The passage that was read out earlier is about Jacob. And you see, what you might not know is that the name Jacob means deceiver. In Hebrew names, they all have a meaning, nearly all of them. And they name their children very, very deliberately, or they did in Old Testament times. And so when Jacob was born, there was him and his brother, and when he came out, he was hanging on to his brother's heel, looked like he was trying to kind of get out first. He didn't make it out first, but he was hanging on to his brother's heel. And so his dad gave one twin the name Esau, and then Jacob that name. But you see, if you read the Bible, you see that his dad never really loved Jacob like he did Esau. The Bible makes it really clear that Jacob's dad preferred Esau, and Jacob grew up with that. Not only did he grow up knowing my dad doesn't really love me, but he grew up knowing that every time his dad called his name, it was like him shouting, "Hey, cheat!" So it was like this, you know, this double rejection, if you like. A dad that doesn't love you, that doesn't really believe in you, that prefers your brother, and at the same time, having very low expectations. And Jacob grew up and fulfilled those low expectations, and went about things the wrong way, with a bit of a wheeler-dealer, and cheated his brother, first of all out of his birthright, and then he cheated him out of the firstborn blessing, and so he had to run away, because his brother And so he's on his way back, and then in this passage where we caught up and Jane read, he basically realizes, I have got to get into the Lord's presence and allow him to do a work within me. And he sends his wife away and his children away and his servants away, and then he just got into the presence of God. And I find it so interesting. He prayed all night long, the Bible says. And that angel represents God himself. And he prayed all night long and he wrestled with the angel. And then he said, look, I'm not going to give up, God, until you do a work on the inside of me. Until you bless me. Until things change. And what I find so interesting is after a night of prayer, God didn't come in a whirlwind or with fire. He just asked Jacob one thing. He said, Jacob, what is your name? Now, of course, God knew his name. God knows everything. But he asked Jacob, what is your name? And I believe that what God was doing in that moment was saying, Jacob, it's time for you to stop running away from your pain. It's time for you to face the fact that, yes, you have a name that was given to you by a dad that maybe didn't love you as much as he loved your twin brother. It's time for you to face your mistakes. Because his name represented cheating. And that's what he did in his early years. I believe God was saying, Jacob, it's time for you to face the truth before me. And you know, that's what the journey is so awesome at doing. It brings people on a journey until they reach that place of an enablement to face the truth about the things that have happened in their lives that have really hurt them the most. And in that moment, as Jacob faced the truth, and it says elsewhere in Scripture that Jacob wept as he faced the truth. In the book of Hosea, it talks about this event. And it says that he cried out to God and said, Lord, just favor me. In other words, he was saying, I need you to favor me because my dad never did. And in that place of truth, God touched him and said, you are no longer Jacob. From this day forth, your new name, your new identity is Israel. And Israel means prince with God. So I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know what journey you have been on or what experiences you have suffered that have marked your life, that have affected the way you see yourself. But if you will get into God's presence and tell him the truth about the things that have really marked you, God will do a wonderful work in you, just like he did in Jacob. As you come into that place of truth, he will be able to bring the kind of transformation into your life that he brought into Jacob's life. Could you just shut your eyes, and I'd just like to pray for you as I finish. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I pray for every single person in this place. Lord, I pray for every man and woman that has gone through events in their lives that have marked them, that have wounded them. Father, those who have lost children, whether through miscarriage, whether through abortion, whether through losing them when they were older. Every person that's been bereaved, that is still carrying that pain around in their hearts. Father, I pray, O God, that you would enable them to pour out their hearts before you like water. Father, I pray that you would enable them to give you the pain that has been held inside, and to touch and transform their lives completely. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me in healing me after the death of my daughter, what you've done for so many other people. You will do again and again and again for anyone who will ask you. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. my life. And so I want to encourage you today that if you have gone through things, some of you maybe you've gone through, you've come out the other side, and there's a strength and there's a security now, and you know that deep on the inside there's no sadness left. You know, sometimes when people meet me and they find out about my daughter, they look more upset than I do. Because I can say with all honesty that, I mean, the journey, when I spent, how long ago did we do the journey? 2 years, was it? Yeah, about 2 years ago. And God just brought up what maybe was a last bit of pain, I don't know, God knows. And, you know, I wept in that session that Glossina led, and God did a new level of healing. But it's so rare that tears come anymore because of the depth and completeness of that healing. And sometimes my children ask me questions about Naomi, that was her name. And my daughter recently said to me, she said, Mommy, I wish Naomi hadn't died before I was born. And I said, why is that, sweetheart? And she said, well, maybe if I had a big sister who was bigger than my big brother, that she would have made it easier for me. Bless her heart. And then my son piped up, and then maybe you'd have copied her dress sense rather than mine. So obviously they're all feeling that somehow she would have helped them. But the point I'm making is that God did such a deep work of healing in me those years ago, and every now and then he would just bring something to the surface, that he's been able to use my husband and I as we travel the world and minister to bring healing. Just by sharing what God's done for us, to bring healing to others. And I believe that the Lord wants to use us, all of us here, to do something meaningful in the life of someone else. It was wonderful hearing about the missionaries in Indonesia. You know, and God has something for all of us to be able to bring into the life of somebody else. And I want to encourage you this morning, allow God to do a work deep in your heart, that out of the overflow of that work within you, that he will then be able to use you to bring love, healing, compassion, kindness. You know, sometimes all people need is a hug, and all they need is you to say, I understand, and to be alongside. And to just be patient through the periods of pain and difficulty that those around us go through. You know, there were times when God was healing me when I wanted to run away from the pain. But one of the things that kept me in that place of facing my pain was that God showed me that if I would allow him to finish the work in me and to really heal me, he would use me to bring love and hope and healing to others. So this morning I encourage you, even when it's difficult, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. It says that two times in the Bible, in Psalms and in Lamentations. And that means we just speak to God like a child would. Lord, it really hurts. Lord, I'm still carrying pain around. I'm so sad. I miss her. I miss her. When that happened, it wounded me. Pouring out our hearts before the Lord. And God, in his extraordinary love and compassion, pours in his healing as we pour out the issues that have so touched and affected and maimed often our lives. So I pray this morning that God will stir many of you up. You know, there are so many resources and materials available out there that if you have gone through things that have marked your life, that God will use to bring you on a journey of healing. But I encourage you, the journey is a great place to allow God to touch you. So I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here on this very, very special 10th anniversary. It was special for me, especially, John, to have one of our wonderful ladies, Elaine, sharing her.